What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, hello, friends. We've got a very special moments in Middle Earth this week. We are talking with our brother in arms, Mr. Warhammer Time himself, Jake Hodgson from London, is with us. You guys have heard Jake on this podcast before. You've heard us talk about him a ton. This is one of the things that stands out to me the most that we learned recently. I think we learned this. I can't remember for sure, but I think we learned this when we had you hop on for a episode reaction during Rings of Power. Because we were talking and asking like how long people had listened to the podcast. And Jake is one. I think Jake might be our very outside of our family and ourselves, probably our very first, like the one upper to rule them all.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was actually
the first download.
Like 5, 6, or 7.
Because I
got 4 downloads in and I said, okay, that's now starting to feel weird.
I just remember because I didn't know. I knew that you were early because you contacted us so early. I think in the email, maybe even the Facebook group. And I remember just thinking like, wow, this is like the first person who's listened outside of our family that we've heard from. And then to find out that Jake was on a train, correct me if I'm wrong, on a train, looking up Lord of the Rings podcasts. He found ours, gave it a whirl. Listened to episode 1 and loved it and thought, right, on to episode 2, and there was no episode 2 yet. Is that right?
Yeah, I hadn't realized you guys had released it like the day before I found it. So I thought that you'd like, so I was listening to episode 1 and I was thinking like, oh, this sounds great. Like they sound like really cool guys and like it just sounds like a really good podcast. And I was just like, oh, damn, it obviously has just like flops and they haven't picked it up. And then I was like, oh, they recorded this.
This was yesterday.
Or like 2 days before or whatever.
Crazy, man. I don't know that anyone else can make that claim. I don't even think I listened to it that early. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, so Jake, this past summer in the Northern Hemisphere, winter in the Southern Hemisphere, he made the trek to New Zealand. So you're gonna stop hearing our voices very soon. We are the children at the long expected party. And Jake is our Bilbo, come back from an adventure, and we're just going to let him roll and tell us about his voyage to New Zealand. Yes, sir.
Yeah, because just throwing this out here, the wife doesn't know this yet, but I'm secretly planning a trip.
Whoa.
And so I'm listening in here. I want Jake to kind of, you know, give me the goods.
Your guide.
Like recent traveler, let me know where to go, what we should be doing, because she's going to listen to this later, and she's just going to say, really? And yeah, I don't know. I'll find the funding for it somewhere, so we'll go.
That's right, baby. Okay, so tell us, Jake, what inspired your desire to go, and then just take us into the early days, maybe even planning before, anywhere you want to go with this.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely like interrupt whenever I'm not super good at speaking for a great length.
I can kind of contest that because we've been sending voice messages and they get pretty lengthy. And they're always good. They're always good, Jake. I mean, I don't, we always push people to make their own podcast, but you, sir, should absolutely have one.
Absolutely.
You're so interesting to listen to. You've got a great voice. So we'll interject if we have to, but I don't think we're going to make it worse if we do. All right.
So I mean, I wanted to go ever since I watched the films when I was like, what, seven? And just kind of never, I don't know, I just felt like there was never a right time, and or like never had enough money or had other things that I was saving for or whatever. And then I think I started saving during, I think I just started saving money in general during COVID because I was just at home at the time. And then I got out of COVID and I thought, like, I can't remember what actually... So my mom went out to visit a friend for 6 months who had been begging her to come out for like years and years and years and years and years. And she finally did it. And then I thought, you know what, maybe I'll go out at the same time and like we can meet up at the end for like a week or so, which is what we did. But yeah, I just kind of thought like, well, there's never going to be a right time. Like there's always going to be stuff on. So yeah, I just, yeah, saved up for quite a while. A couple of, would have been 2 or 3 years. And yeah, went out for 5 weeks. Yeah, it's pretty scary to be honest. Like I've never traveled outside. Well, I've traveled outside of Europe once, but never gone like on a solo holiday. Never like gone to like anywhere further than Europe. So yeah, my girlfriend dropped me off at the airport. Had like a 30-hour flight.
Got 30 hours.
Yeah,
that's how long it takes to get there.
Isn't like if I recall, like well, and for us, yeah, because we it's even different. I remember the leg from so we when we go obviously from the States, it's we do the Los Angeles to Sydney flight, and it's like 17 hours over the ocean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So did you when you went? Did you come through America or did you go like to Africa and down? That would be even longer. That would be insane.
It was Dubai. I think you can go either way.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I was my flight was like what was it? It was London to Dubai and then Dubai, which was like 12. It was like 12. No, I can't remember what it was. 7 hours or something, and then Dubai to Sydney. Was like the really long one that was like 14 hours or something, and then longer, maybe 19 hours. And then there was Sydney to Queenstown, which was I can't remember how long, but yeah, it was like including I think there was like an hour stopover in each at each point, but it was like 30 hours door to door.
Dang,
and then you have the time change, it's so weird because then you have the time change too. So you're like traveling for a day, and then you're also like ahead a day, you lose there's like a full day that you lose at least. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I'd never been jet lagged before. I actually felt fine on the way out. I just felt a bit tired, but the way back like really got me. But it was they had Lord of the Rings on the plane, so I watched The Fellowship and
that's amazing. Perfect. We just talked about that. That's
we awesome. Did just talk about good. It. Yeah, traveling with Lord of the Rings, and then you and you also went. You this was an extra step of courage. You went by yourself, right?
Yeah.
You talk about that decision, like if you want to. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of one of my best mates, Callum, was gonna come with me for like the last 2 weeks of the 5 weeks, but he like I think something came up with work and he couldn't make it last minute, which was sad. He's a massive Lord of the Rings fan as well. I mean, to be honest, I probably would have gone with someone else if it wasn't such a big amount of money, like was just you know a few hundred quid going on a holiday to Europe, like I'm sure like some friends would have come with me as well, but it's not just like you can just like you know I was saving for like quite a long time, but yeah, and I kind of just wanted to do it as well. It was scary, which I always think is a good thing. I think when something scares you, that's like, you know, you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. You're going to learn some stuff and challenge yourself. That was, big decision. But like, learned a lot about myself as well, which was good.
Yeah.
And didn't get into any potential arguments with friends.
It's kind of nice, right? I mean, like we've talked a little bit and I think that we haven't gotten to this level yet, but I could make an assumption. There's definitely a part of you that's introverted, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
like, and I think I'm still like halfway.
I'm that way too. I definitely. It's more. I think it's more work for me to be extroverted, and my natural state is like being an introvert. So like I would have the same like going alone. I don't know if I would have the courage like you to do, because it's a long journey. A lot of stuff could happen, could potentially go wrong even, you know, and you're in another world. And I'm sure you'll talk about this a little bit too, but like for me, I found New Zealand, even though I loved it, it was incredibly isolating. Like in a way that's really hard to explain. I remember talking to Jimmy O'Connor, who's a Kiwi who has been in contact with us. He's an amazing guy. And I think I described New Zealand as the closest you can get to heaven without dying. Because it just kind of feels like another world. It feels ethereal, but at the same time, there is like a weird kind of remoteness that they just naturally have. But so anyway, to go by yourself, that's incredible. So you take the long journey. You watch a little Lord of the Rings on the way. You're doing it solo, which even Mr. Frodo couldn't do. And you get there. Did you start in Queenstown?
Yeah, so I basically went south to north, which is kind of the opposite way that most people do. I think most people fly into Auckland, but the idea was to do like a month of traveling by myself. And then my mum was staying in Auckland with her friend. So I was going to finish in Auckland for like a few days. And then we actually flew back together, which was really nice. Mm. So started in Queenstown. And then, did lots of very nice stuff. I was really blessed with the weather the whole time. Like, because I went, when would it have been? I was in there March till April. So that was there. Going into their winter, it's kind of like end of summer for them, which I think typically is quite rainy. I think everyone that I kept meeting kept saying the weather's really good. I think I only had like 3 days of rain when I was there, and the rest was like sunny, pretty warm, which is great. Wow. But started in Queenstown, and then I did. I guess I'll just tell you guys about all the loads of Lord of the Rings stuff I did.
Yeah, that's what we want. Yep.
Yeah, so I think it was like on the third, it was actually the first thing that I booked, which I booked like a month before going. So it was a day trip from Queenstown to, what was it, Glenorchy, 12 Mile Delta, and what was the last place? I can't remember what it was. But anyway, it was Glenorchy wasn't a filming location, but just really nice. But then 12 Mile Delta was went to the location where they filmed Sam and Frodo See the Oliphants. Mm-hmm. So like we stood on the ridge where they like look out where all the Harrowdon are coming through.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool. And the tour guide was great. Like he was like really into Lord of the Rings and stuff. And they have those like little folders with the pictures, so they kind of stand with the view behind them and the picture.
Yeah. Was this the tour guide that you were telling about? Sorry to interrupt. That brought like props and stuff and like swords and things like that. Was this the same guy? Because I remember I remember a picture, a specific picture of you holding Andúril and like looking out into this valley. And I want to say it was that area, but I couldn't totally remember.
Yeah, so it was on that tour. So we went from there, and then we went to it's pretty bad. I can't remember half the names of the places, but
Same for me, man. I remember I was like, I'll never forget the name of this place. And then you come back and it's certain aspects or like names or exactly what direction you went. It all just turns to mush because you were living that experience. Yeah. You know, you weren't like taking notes or something. It's just like, yeah, I think we went. I can't. Like, it still drives me nuts. Like, Sarah is so good at remembering names and places and directions. I am like, that's my weakest, because, you know, like we'll talk about memories when we went together. And I'm like, yeah, that was you know, like north of that area, or it was called this. And she goes, no, it was not. And I'm like, okay, you're so much smarter than me. Thank you. Yeah. you get swept up in the experience, I think. And it's nice to hear like that. Yeah. It was the same for you.
Yeah. And I mean, it was, cause it was such a condensed trip. Like I was moving around every like one to three days, basically. We did a bit of where they filmed bits of Lothlórien. And then they filmed, it's really bugging me. Like, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, it's on the edge of Milford Sound. And it's where they filmed Isengard. So it's like the mountainous background, and which is also where they filmed Beorn's house in
Hobbit. Yep.
Just, if you're facing where they film Isengard, literally like behind you is the hill, not even the hill, like the mound, like you're standing on the mound where they film Beorn's house, which is pretty cool.
I didn't realize this place is that close, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's, I mean, in Middle Earth.
In Middle Earth. Right. Yeah. Have you watched the films since and then looked at Isengard and been like, oh, yeah, it's the Humboldt Mountains and there's the, I remember that. But it's so iconic now. Like, because I remember going there and being, I don't think I even realized that that's where Isengard was filmed. We came back home, we're watching the movies. I'm like, oh my God, it's the Glenarchy. That's the valley right there that goes back with the Dart River and everything. Yeah.
Dart River, that was it.
Is that it? Yep.
There you go, yeah. I actually watched them last weekend. I was telling you, my mom had only seen the first one, which is abysmal for a parent of mine. she liked fantasy, was never her thing, but she wanted to see them after being in New Zealand for a few months. And so we watched them last weekend, which is the first time I've watched them, which is also pretty poor form in like 5 months. It's weird.
being critical honest.
Yeah.
Being too hard on yourself. Yeah.
Being like, fuck, I was there. Like I've been on in that bit. It's quite surreal.
It's wild. Okay, do you care if I ask another question real quick? Because
we didn't address this,
and I honestly can't remember. I think I have a vague memory of what you said your plan was, but going into this, did you have like a plan of places you wanted to hit, or did you have a start and an end location and date, and that you were just going to kind of meander through?
Before I got there, I had a kind of no plan. I knew I wanted to hit a few places. So I knew I wanted to, I knew I was going into Queenstown, obviously, but then I knew I wanted to go to, I think I'd looked up some Lord of the Rings locations before. So I knew like a very vague, route that I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to go north to south and then like hit a few places along the way. But I kind of just wanted to, I didn't want to give myself too strict a regime. I kind of wanted it to be a little bit spur of the moment, which I actually found was quite difficult when you get there because I didn't drive. And their public transport is just like non-existent.
Yeah,
no,
there is a coach. Yeah.
But if you miss a coach, you've literally got to wait like 2 days. So,
especially on the South Island too. Like the South Island's a nut. It's like the Wild West, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So I luckily someone in like the first hostel I was in just told me like, have you booked the next couple places? And I was like, nah, I'm just going to sort of wing it. And they're like, yeah, don't do that. Or you're going to be in some like tiny little town for like a week. Yeah. I kind of was planning the next like two places ahead from each one I was on, but it was pretty spur of the moment.
Yeah.
And did a lot of hitchhiking as well, which was quite weird.
Did you really?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
God, Jake, geez,
you would have met some pretty interesting Kiwis, I would assume, like that, and just wonderful. I mean, their hospitality is something that's renowned too, right? They're all very, I think, especially on the South Island, they're very welcoming and warm. Yeah. And yeah, so that's, man, hitchhiking too. I didn't realize that is so cool. Did you? So I guess, like, would you recommend? What would you recommend for people? Because it sounds like, you know, that's exactly how I would have done it and have done it in the past. Like just a general idea of what things I wanted to see, but kind of not really doing the hard planning until like you're in the moment. How would you recommend someone? I mean, I guess it depends on the person, but like, were you happy with how it ended up going?
Yeah, I was very happy. Cause I mean, yeah, like you said, it depends on the person. Like some people like to very hard plan what they're doing, but the way I was looking at it was, you know, I don't want to book like somewhere to stay in X for 3 nights and then get there and think this is a bit boring. I kind of want to stay one night and then you've committed, or maybe you book somewhere for like 2 nights and you get there and you're like, this is great. I want to be here for a week or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you never know what different towns and cities are going to kind of grab on your attention, but that worked really well for me. I think definitely, yeah, for people listening, if you're planning a trip, if you don't drive, book like the next couple places in advance. Like okay. Your coach. I mean, there aren't any trains really on the South Island. There's like one that goes across. But yeah, book your coaches, book your hostels like in advance. But if you're driving, you can kind of just do whatever you want.
That's what we, Sarah and I, when we went down to the South Island, we drove. And we found that very, I mean, that was very convenient because if you wanted to just move on, you could. If not, but I think I like, if you can't drive, I like what you did because you're also kind of like gauging energy level. You're gaining interest in the area. You're not planning the whole trip in advance, but you're also not, you know, reacting in the moment. You're getting a couple stops in advance. You can kind of figure out, okay, how much longer do I want to stay in this general area? You know, that, I think that's a really good way to do it. If you don't have, like, if you didn't go with booking a car. Okay. So you're moving north. What was your next big stop? Your greatest memory as you continued up the South Island?
So I went to over in Wanaka, which is really nice. And then I did the West Coast. So that was like Franz Josef and Hokitika and Greymouth. Franz Josef was insane. And I'm sure you know, but before going to New Zealand, obviously everything in Lord of the Rings that's filmed is like doesn't all look the same, but it's all fairly similar looking. It's all, you know, mountainous, like vast landscapes and stuff. So I kind of thought the whole of New Zealand would be like that. But like West Coast, like Queenstown is kind of mountainy, like Lord of the Rings. In Queenstown, there's that mountain range, the Remarkables, which is like in the background of when they're all traveling from Edoras to Helm's Deep. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of terrain. And then you drive like 3 or 4 hours onto the West Coast and it's literally like a rainforest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I wasn't expecting at all. And it's, that kind of caught me off guard. That was cool. And I did this this helicopter ride where you get flown up onto the, like in through the glaciers, like Fox Glacier and Franz Josef Glacier.
Yeah. Yep. Remember those? Yep.
You get dropped off at the top and you can like have a little walk around for 10 minutes. But that was where they filmed part of the Beacons of Lit thing. That wasn't like
really
the ring. Well, he told me that because I just happened to ask. I just booked it because I thought it would be cool. And when we were up there, I was like, oh, was any of Lord of the Rings filmed around here? And he was like, oh, yeah, like this is where they did the Beacons Lit. And I was just like, why don't you tell me?
Did you find it kind of jarring too? Like, just like there, I mean, it makes sense. When you stop and think about it, it makes sense just with how, like, the whole short poppy mentality and everything. Were you ever blown away though at how, like, almost holy these movies are for people like us, and how for them it's just like, I mean, yeah, they were shot here. Like my cousin was in it, you know. It's like it's just such a commonplace thing that it's not the same kind of level of enthusiasm that we have. Like, yeah, Viggo Mortensen stayed in my shed. It's you know, who cares? Like, yeah, of course.
Wow.
And I think that that's part of, I think it definitely comes through in the films because I think those actors and actresses were able to escape and not be recognized and not, you know what I'm saying? Like in the same way that this tour guide forgot to even mention, oh yeah, this is kind of where the beacons were, part of where the beacons were lit. Kind of a big deal. One of the coolest non-character scenes in all of the movie. Like just the way, we watched it the other night.
Yeah, we did.
Watched it the other night just randomly. I was like, have you ever noticed something about Aragorn? Of course. But like it's such a powerful visual that we have that it's just like, yeah, you know. And but they definitely have a source of pride about it too as a country. Like they definitely aren't, they don't lack that, but it's just such a, and like you said, almost every corner is touched by something. And then also, like you said, sorry, I'm going to shut up, but you're getting all excited now, you know, but you said that was what you mentioned about the diversity of landscape and geography.
Right.
Elijah Wood, I remember in the appendices as a 13-year-old kid watching behind the scenes stuff. And he's like, it's got every kind of geographical thing. Yeah, within, you know, like, dude, like what you described, right? You go from mountains to coastlines to jungles. In the United States, you'd have to drive days to get what you get in hours in New Zealand. It's just, it's literally, you can see why people love filming there because you can just, your cost of travel would be so small for your return on like different environments.
Lorraine. Yeah, for sure. And I mean,
did you like?
Didn't get like any of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you like the West Coast? Was it like a fun drive? Because I that was a very memorable. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. West Coast was amazing. Yeah, I think I stopped in a few towns on the West Coast. It's like there's not. I mean, it's the kind of thing about New Zealand that I realize, like, unless you're in a main city, like, there's kind of nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, every town is like a few roads and there's like a couple of pubs, a cafe, a barber, a jeweler's, and like a bookshop or whatever. There's really not that much to do, but it's, I think, you know, the scenery, obviously. And if you're into like outdoor sports and biking and hiking and stuff, like, you're set. But yeah. Stopping off the West Coast was just like loads of really nice, quiet little towns, which was really nice. I brought the Fellowship of the Ring with me to read as well.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot how you did that. Yeah.
I was just like sitting in nice places and reading and going on walks and stuff like that. Yeah.
Was it ever surreal to read, you know, to read the book in the place where the movies were made? Was that ever something where you're like, man, I can't believe I'm actually, because believe it or not, I don't think I ever read the story when I was there. Like, I don't know why I overlooked that, but I never read the story like when I was in New Zealand. But was that something that you found just kind of like out of body, or did it just feel right, I guess?
Yeah, it was quite weird, to be honest, because I think the thing that I picked up the most on was how similar Tolkien's descriptions of the landscapes that he created was to New Zealand, like, especially since the vast majority of them aren't things you get in England. Like, I know he took a lot of the mountainous stuff from, like, was it like Sweden or somewhere that he'd been as like a child or a teenager or something like that. But, you know, loads of descriptions of, like, you know, mountains capped, you know, glinting in the sun like white fire, and, you know, all that stuff. It's like you know, you're not getting that in like South England at all,
right?
And then, you know, you're in New Zealand, you're reading descriptions of the landscape, and you're like, that is literally what this is. So yeah, that was quite cool, but it was quite a surreal experience.
enhanced reading, to be sure. Like, that's something immersive. Okay, so I want to ask about this. Did you cross over back over the mountains and head east, and then where did you go, I guess, after the West Coast? Where was your, did you get any New Zealand jade? Did you pick any up off the beach?
I didn't pick up any off the beach. I got my girlfriend a what's it called, Panamu necklace.
Nice, man.
From the West Coast. But yeah, didn't find any on the beach, annoyingly. But I think a lot of those areas are like, you can't go into now because they're native.
They're sacred. That was, we talked to the guy we got our Panamu from. His name was Garth Wilson. Incredible guy. He even like, man, it was amazing. So he took the piece. It was such an experience. Like, I did not anticipate it being such an experience. It was what I wanted, but I did not anticipate it. We picked out, pendants that we wanted. Then he held them and touched them, and he put his like mana in them, right? Like his spirit, his essence. I was like, geez. And he was like, I want to do a carving for you in them. I was like, okay, that's great. Fine. So he went and he did two hooks that were intertwined on both of our pieces. And it was supposed to be me and Sarah. And he was like, you know, when you have kids, come back someday and I'll add their hooks.
Wow.
And I was like, geez. That's cool. And then I asked him, I'm like, you know, I would love to get, I said, I know that it's,
I know that it's like, pendants.
Right. Yeah, I know. I had a couple of.
That's so true.
Oh, shoot, dude. My God. Yes, we would. We'd have to get a whole new like necklace full of them. But I said, I would love to get like a piece of raw Panamu. I said, I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to take it from a place where I know that the Maori like have claim to it. It's a very sacred, like it was everything. It's got the tensile strength of steel. It was their weaponry. They did all kinds
of stuff. Didn't know that.
Yes. I think they said that it definitely bends before it breaks. It's an incredible, it's an incredible mineral. But I asked him, I'm like, is there anywhere I could go where it would be acceptable or okay? And he said, as long as you're on the beaches, it's fine. He said, you go into land and into the mountains, and that's off limits. You can't take it. And he said, I said, but like, if would I get stopped by customs, like, or anything, would they get upset? He said, no. He said, as long as you go to the beach, you're sure you're on the beach, and you take it from there, you're fine. So actually, like that next morning before we went off, I'm like, he even told me what beaches to go to. He's like, there are rivers from the mountains that deposit here, and you'll be able to find some no problem. He said it's going to look a little dark, and it won't look bright green like you're seeing. But yeah, exactly, because it's got that crust on the outside, the oxidation or whatever. And he was like, but you could go there and pick some up, no problem. So I got, because I know my dad would love a piece, and so I got, there's actually little pieces of, it's right by the TV there, actually. There's little pieces of, Panamu just set up all over. But I could not believe how kind and generous that was. Anyway, just par for the course with Kiwis. Okay, so you leave the West Coast, you head east over the mountains again?
Yeah, went up to Greymouth and then got this, I can't remember what it's called, Transalpine train, I think, goes across the mountain range down the South Island, through there. And they've got like a carriage at the back that's got like open sides, so you can just stand.
Oh my gosh.
The scenery. I went to Christchurch, which was, I don't know, Christchurch was cool. It's kind of weird because obviously there was that earthquake there in 2012, I think, or 2013. So it's basically just all being rebuilt. So there's not
still even, isn't that crazy? Yeah. It was in 2011. Cause I was in the country when it happened. I was in North Island, but yeah. So I remember it very, like I was in Auckland. I remember when it happened, it was all over the news, and we actually flew down. We visited the South Island. Remember Lindsay Oldham?
Yeah.
She was there with me. And we went down to South Island and took a trip, and we were there right after. And we were kind of nervous about going because we didn't want to seem like rude, essentially, because it was pretty devastating. We talked to a guy who lived there, the guy that we stayed with for a night, and he said the streets just started like the pavement started rolling like water because there was like liquefaction. And I remember we went back, Sarah and I went in 2015 for our anniversary. I'm like, oh, Christchurch will be probably all put back together. And it was still, I mean, it just like, it was so devastating that, and it was such a financial hit that like, so they're even now still working on stuff, you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say still probably, I don't know, from what I saw, like maybe a third of the city is still being rebuilt. And obviously, you know, it's really sad because from what I saw, like a lot of the old buildings there like had a lot of character, but like, you know, just in my opinion, like all the everything modern, like it doesn't have much character to it. So it's quite a weird city. It's cool.
Yeah.
And you know, but it's definitely a weird place and probably my least favorite out of the cities there, just aesthetically.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. But yeah, from there, I did two day trips. I kind of just used that as a base and just like went and did a few trips from there. So I did a trip around Mount Cook, which was like insane because we just the weather that happened when we were there was nuts. Like it was raining when we were driving down and I was thinking like, oh, damn, it's gonna be like really crap weather for it, but then it kind of like dissipated when we got there. But like all the drizzle, kind of like all the mountains were like capped with snow just on the tops, and there were these kind of like thin kind of drizzly clouds like halfway up, and then the sun was hitting the snow on the tops of the mountains, and then it was like dissipating through the rain, and it literally looked like they were like glowing. And I just remember I was just saying like this that was like one of the most insane things that I think I've ever seen. Like you know, when you're in certain weathers and you're like, this looks like a dream, like something about the clouds and like the temperature and stuff just looks completely surreal. Yeah, that was really cool. And then went to Edoras the day after, which was aggressively surreal.
what did you, because that's always been it surprised me when, like, I look back on the places I got to visit and you know, like obviously Matamata, Hobbiton is up there, but honestly, like there's something about Mount Sunday that it's almost not even close. I don't know even how to explain, like if I had to pick one, it's not even, Ez can tell you, if I had to pick one to visit again in my life, it's Mount Sunday, hands down. Like, I
don't even think I'm sorry. There's like the biggest spider that's just
Shelob. It's an Mongolian, dude. Get it.
I show you, man. Oh my god.
Oh my god. This is an unexpected spider attack. What the heck?
I'm ready. I'm not a spider fan.
We can tell. Can you show us your kill?
My wife would be losing her mind right now. She would be like, oh god.
Right, it's under a glass under my desk. I'll deal with that.
You didn't kill it, did you? He's such a good guy.
No, I'm a vegan.
Such a good man. Such a good man. Okay, so you just dodged a spider attack there.
On Sunday.
Yeah, I just said I was prattling, but like it's literally I would pick that over the Hobbiton tour any day if I had to. So yeah.
Hey, all right, guys, I'm a big dummy when it comes to this stuff. I'm trying to find stuff on the map. So because I'm not even kidding about maybe mapping out a trip and like not telling Lottie and just saying we're going.
Dang,
well, is it crazy if I did that?
Oh my
god! I'll send you properly. You're after, right. The full route with all the names and stuff.
That's what I'm okay. Good. Yeah, because I'm just trying to keep up on a map and like I know Lane's got like his path and then is it so Jake's is opposite of what you did.
Yes.
You started at the north, right? And then you went down.
We were in Auckland, but then we went to the South Island. We did the exact opposite of Jake. We literally went into Christchurch. Then we went west over the mountains. Is it Arthur's Pass or Haast Pass?
Yes, Arthur's Pass.
Arthur's Pass. Yeah, and then we went down the west coast, and then we crossed over the other pass into it's so funny. Like Wanaka, we were in Hawea, which is just the other lake over.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we stayed in Hawea, and then we went to Queenstown, and I liked Queenstown, but I wanted to kind of see, I wanted the top and the bottom of the lake. So we went to Glenorchy, and then we went down to Kingston, which was remote and beautiful. And then, we went back up to Christchurch again, and then went out to Mount Sunday. And it's literally just the opposite path of, that you took. Nice. What did you think of Mount Sunday? Like, can you tell us, I mean, because it is just, it's hard to explain, but what was it about that area that like hit so deep?
It's kind of difficult to put into words, to be honest. I mean, I think it's the most, one of the most recognizable, like, natural locations in Lord of the Rings, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, though, just as everyone who's watched the appendices, well, I don't know if it's in the appendices or not. The tour guides told us as well, but, you know, they were looking for like months for the Edoras location, and they just happened to see it the last day of flying around, and it was like obviously exactly what he'd written pretty much. But yeah, it's just, God, I really don't know what it was about it. It's very difficult to put into words. I think as well, because it's such a like pinnacle of the films and such a incredible like scene when they go into Rohan, just to be in that was just just pretty amazing. The weather was really good, and we like hiked up to the top, and then actually as well the Helm's Deep filming location is in the mountain range that you can see when you're on top of.
Isn't that crazy? As didn't know they were that close to Middle Earth, right?
No, I didn't know they were. I thought they were a little further apart.
Okay, so I think you nailed it on the head there too. That, and as you're saying that, I'm remembering, and maybe I've never been able to put into words. It felt incredibly remote, but like the fact that to me, I was tickled by the fact that you could just walk up it. Like you look at it from the ground, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a big hill. In Ohio, we would call that a mountain, right? I mean, there's no other word for it.
Yeah.
And it's surrounded by proper mountains compared, right? And I remember thinking like, oh no, there's a slope that just goes right up the back and you can get to the very top. And it's a steep like climb, but it's not impossible at all. Like it's very doable and it's quite like really quite enjoyable. And then you get the view up top and the view down below and all the rivers you cross through, the little braided streams you cross through to get there. Like it was, I agree with you. I don't know exactly how to explain why it was so breathtaking, but it's probably got something to do with the weight of the movies, like the weight of the story that was told there. It was such an important place. It had almost all of our favorite characters visit it, right?
Yeah.
Or like, have moments there. It was a place, but then, you know, in real life, it was just, I don't know. Your day, I think I remember pictures. Was it a crystal clear blue sky, sunny day?
I mean, the day before was when we had awful weather and it was just like absolutely tipping it down. And I was thinking like, oh no, it's going to be really bad for Edoras. Actually, I think one of the things that made it so such an incredible location is it's like where it is like the only kind of area that's like that. Like in the drive up to it, it's pretty like flat kind of on low level undulating hills, like not very big at all. And I remember driving through that and thinking like, and the tour guy was saying, you know, like, oh, we're going to be there in a minute. And I'm like, are we going to be there? Like, this doesn't look like where it is.
Yeah.
And then it's just in this bowl. It's just this massive bowl with the like snowy mountains behind, and then just the hill in like bang in the middle. It's just really weird, because I thought it would maybe be, there would be quite a lot of other hills similar to it, but not quite what they wanted. But it's literally just the only one in this massive bowl with the mountains behind. It's just a very lucky piece of nature.
I kind of forgot that until you brought it up, because you're right. Just to the east is the Canterbury Plains. It's literally called the Canterbury Plains because it's just a bunch of really flat. I believe there's a bunch of, if I remember correctly, a lot of, before you hit the mountains, like farmland, pastures.
Yes.
Farmland. Yeah. It's a big agriculture. It almost kind of feels more like around like Matamata and parts of the north. You're like, this doesn't even feel like the South Island. So it is incredibly, and maybe that's why I wonder if that's how it maybe got overlooked, is because they probably thought, there's not going to be nothing in that region. We're gonna have to go so you went to Mount Sunday. It's life-changing, right? Did you fly then to the North Island after this, or what was that, were you done with the South Island at that point?
No, so I went from Christchurch. I actually flew from Christchurch to
you went to Nelson, right? The north Nelson, of the South Island. What was that like? I've never been to that area. What was that like?
Nelson was really good. I really like Nelson. It's just like really cool city. I think it's a city. super cool. Loads of like felt a lot more hip is the only word I can use to describe, but that makes me sound like a bit of a boomer. But it was just a very cool city. There were lots of like nice little bars and stuff, and there was like an old converted church that was a bar, just like kind of cool stuff like that. And visited Jens Hansen, the Ringmaker's shop.
Oh yeah, the Ringmaker's shop. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and saw like all the, I mean, I don't think they had the one that they made for the film, but they obviously make all the replicas. So yeah, they had like, you know, an enormous one, and then like different sizes and stuff. So that was cool. And I had the little plaque outside for him. Yeah, that was cool. And then I also did a day trip from there up to somewhere just north of there, and did a kayak down the Pelorus River, which is where they filmed the Barrels Out of Bond scene in The Hobbit.
Wow.
That was really cool. Got absolutely bitten to like shreds by sandflies and stuff. Like,
oh my goodness. Wow.
Everywhere. But that was really cool.
Wow. Man. Okay. So again, that like the cool thing about New Zealand too is like, even if you, like you said, I guess maybe the kind of the stressful thing could be thinking, what can I fit in? How can I maximize my time, but then also not feel like I'm just not experiencing it? You know what I mean? That's kind of that was always my fear, is I don't want to feel rushed, like you said, but I want to make sure I hit everything that I possibly can. Cause like you said, in a lot of cases, it's a once in a lifetime trip. You know what I mean? Cause it's so far away. And it, like you said, it's not a cheap trip. And then once you get, I always forgot too, like once you get there, you got to eat, you got to drive, you got to stay places. Like it ain't cheap down there either, because they're so isolated. Yeah. Okay. So after Nelson, is that when you headed north, or like, did you take a ferry across?
Yeah. I went to Pitts and got the ferry up to Wellington, and then,
That's awesome. Did you go to I think I remember you saying, yes, no, I remember pictures from the Weta Cave. You went to the Weta Cave, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So did Weta Workshop, which was like, that was just insane. I think I'd actually seen some of the props before, cause I think there was a exhibition that came to London, ages ago. I must have been like 10 or something, but yeah, that was really cool. There weren't as many props and stuff as I thought there would be. It's quite a short tour. There's like three rooms. But yeah, there was like Sauron's full armor, and like got to hold Boromir's sword, and like actually managed to see one of the swordsmiths, because there's like a window in the room that you go into. But I guess is used sometimes. It's into the blacksmithing room. We got to see like some of the swordsmiths like quenching a blade, which is pretty cool. The detail
I remember those messages you sent me in the pictures, and like the fact that you got to hold Boromir's sword. I think our buddy Mike Charles somewhere he's sweating. Like, you just put him into heavy sweats, because he's his ultimate favorite character, and he even has like the replica, but like it's the actual sword. What he would lose his mind. But I remember you sending, so I think vividly I remember that picture of I can't remember if it was Elendil or Isildur / Aragorn's breastplate
Elendil's.
There you go. The level of detail, and you're right, like even just your picture there were details and qualities that I had never seen in any other photograph, like just because I you mean, were like there in person.
Tiny little like sigils on like the edge of like the wrist plate, or like just things that you just like wouldn't see in the like minute where it's shot in an action sequence. It's unbelievable.
And I think something that I had caught too in the picture you sent me was the white tree in the midst of all these other motifs and themes that I had never even caught before. I was like, oh my gosh, there's the second age white tree right there. So incredible. So that would have been an amazing experience. Okay. So you were in Wellington. I've never been to Wellington. What was it like as a city? Was it enjoyable?
You never been there?
Wellington was really cool. I think Wellington was my favorite city. It felt the closest to London, which I quite liked, obviously being a London boy. Yeah, it was really cool. There were like those really cool restaurants, and it was really like buzzy, and like had the only Warhammer store on the South Island, which was good. Yeah, and also in Wellington, which was actually my favorite location, weirdly, which I didn't expect at all, was the Get Off the Road.
Yeah, man. Oh my gosh. And the picture of you in the tree where Frodo sat and smoked his pipe.
Yeah, I had to balance my phone on a rock with a self timer to take that. But yeah, that one was like really cool because that's in a park in the middle of Wellington. Like you can see, if you're like facing the road, if you turn to the left, you can like, because it's on a hillside, you can see the city through the trees, which is
that's wild.
Pretty wild, yeah. But
something I had forgotten too, that you learned was that root structure where they hide is, it was all made, right? That wasn't actual roots. Yeah,
because I walked past it like 3 or 4 times. I was like, where's the bit where they hide? Like, where's the tree? I'm like, walking back and forth for literally like 15, 20 minutes and like looking on Google, like, where is it, like going on maps? And then found the crevice. But yeah, the tree's fake. They made the tree.
Yeah,
wild. Yeah, I think that one was my favorite because I think all of the other locations, obviously apart from Hobbiton, but they're all so vast and enormous. Mm-hmm. But they're obviously incredible, but they're quite surreal. But that one is like literally like in front of you. Like it's the trees there. I don't know. It's like in the shot. Shot's just like a very close thing. That one felt really like, oh my God, I'm in Lord of the Rings. Like, you know.
I think that makes a lot of sense to me because I'm thinking about that moment. That's a heavy moment. And it's funny that you said it's all right there in front of you. Uh-oh. And that
spider's loose. Hold on.
The spider's getting out.
I'm not going to pass over here with my foot and just panic. Like, oh my God.
It's crawling up Jake's face. Oh, dude. But like that moment is very close. And I mean, there's a lot of tight shots in that moment too. So it's funny that you're saying that scene was right in front of you and also very, in your face in the movie itself. So, okay. Wellington was awesome. Where did you go? Take us through the rest of your voyage on the North Island.
So I went from Wellington and then I went up to, I can't remember the town name again, but where you stay to do the Tongariro crossing. So Mount
Doom. Yep.
That was wild. That was like a whole day trek. Trekked up. I mean, I didn't know if you can actually go on to Mount Doom itself, but like go around it. And that was like insane. The terrain there's just nuts. Like got halfway up on this, all these clouds rolled in. It was literally like Mordor, like couldn't really see kind of more than like, you know, big barren volcanic landscape and couldn't see more than like put in front of you. That was pretty cool.
I remember talking after you did that hike because I've gotten to do it as well, and it was, I think it's still ranked as like one of the top 10 best day hikes in the world that you can take the crossing itself.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you see, and then you go by like those giant gaping red craters, which even when you take pictures of, it doesn't capture like how enormous they are. And like if you just tripped and fell, you're ending up like Gollum. You're in Gollum sauce.
Yeah.
And then like those mineral lakes that are like green, like emerald, like
phases.
Yeah. And then you go through that valley that feels like the moon or Mars. And then by the end, you're like you said, you're in jungle. You're in like tropical jungle that felt like that felt like places outside of Auckland where I had hiked. It was just, it has almost everything on one. And so I remember hearing, like, you'd sent me a bunch of pictures and said you just did the crossing. I was like, it just jogged so many memories of that hike. Like, it's just an incredible experience. Yeah. Like, it's almost, it's like a great microcosm of being in New Zealand. Like, it's, if you had to condense it to a one walk, that's what being in New Zealand is like.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because you go through like 6 different terrains.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
8 hours. Very, very cool.
Okay, you did the crossing. Yeah, what was on your list next, man? I mean, you're hitting everything, Jake. You got it all, man.
Yeah. Did the crossing, then I went to Waitomo, which is just like a bit further west, like northwest, and they did like these like glowworm caves. So you like go down and go on this little boat, and there are all these like glowworms on the ceilings, which is pretty cool. and then went to Matamata and did Hobbiton.
Mm. What did you think about the glowworms? Are awesome. They look like stars under the cave. It's incredible. What did you think of? I think when I describe Hobbiton, is it like all the hype in the world, and it still surpassed it? What was it? What was it like for you?
It was, yeah, extremely surreal. Like I was in a group of, I don't know, maybe like 20 or 25 people, because they put you through quite quickly. Well, not quickly, but like you don't really have too much time to stop. And
no, they keep it moving.
I like put my head, one of my headphones in, and like waited for, because the bit that you walk through is the bit where you like, you know, the scene where Frodo and Gandalf like come through and you see all of it. And I like waited for everyone to, or I went through and then I waited for everyone to kind of move on, and then I like ran back, put my headphone in, put on like Concerning Hobbits, and then like all my he like crowd there. but yeah, I mean, it was cool. So I actually did it twice. Because I got taken through on the first time, and there was just like so much to take in, and I was like taking so many pictures and videos and like listening to the tour guide, and like it was just, I kind of got driven back to the, because you get to, you, there's like a little site, and then you go on a tour bus and it takes you there, and then you go on and it takes you back to this place with like a gift shop and stuff. And I like got back, and I was just like, it just went so quickly, and I was like, I don't really know if I properly took that in. Like, I feel like I looked at half of it through my phone.
And
then I kind of sat there for like 20 minutes, and I was like, oh, do I do it again now? And I was like, oh, I don't know if I have the money to do that. And I've literally just done it. That's insane. I can't do it again. And then I kind of just sat there for a bit, and I was like, you know what? I'll just scrimp on some meals. I'll like cook pasta in you know, the next few hostels for like a few nights. I won't get XYZ, and I'll do it again, which is what I did, and scrimped a bit after. But it was so worth it. I like put my phone away, just like didn't take any pictures, and like really just took it in.
I think that's maybe the smartest thing I've ever heard in terms of like a strategy. So the first time, if you can do it twice, you might as well like do it once. Cause it's not like it's hard to, once you're there, you're going to be able to fit on a tour somewhere. It's not like it's never so booked. I mean, it's busy all the time, but they're never going to be like, oh, we're full today. You can't. Cause the way they, like, you're right. The way they move people in and out, it's almost like it's a sheep farm, and they kind of move you like sheep. Like I honestly think they might just use some of the shepherds and be like, hey, you're a tour guide now. Get them through like the flock, maybe. I haven't even thought of that until you brought that up. But they move you through quickly. So it's not a question of like get, unless you go at the end of the day. But then even they have night tours. They have night tours that you could take. So to go through once and then to do it like a tourist, and then to go back again and be able to, you know, in the words of John Mayer, no more 3x5s, like to see the camera with both your eyes, or see the world with both your eyes. I think that's brilliant, dude. I mean, I would recommend that to anyone who's going to New Zealand. To if you can do it that way, to do it. I did it twice. It was separated by, you know, like 5 or 6 years, but I did the same thing. And I think you really do have to do it more than once, like you said, to soak it up and to, you know,
I think appreciate with the age of like, yeah, and with the age of like, you know, phones and stuff, like you're not going to not take any pictures. That's just obviously not going to happen. And there are so many photos, you know, anyway, for me anyways, I really enjoyed taking pictures, like, you know, of some of the people just taking a picture outside Bilbo's house and like one or two, but like I wanted to get, you know, nice shots of all the hobbit holes and all the little bits of detail and like wood carvings and stuff and everything. So yeah, I'd highly recommend budgeting for two if you're like that as well. And then just doing one without your phone, like it's best decision I made for sure, because it just goes a lot slower as well. You kind of know what to expect. Like, you know the route you're going to take. Mm-hmm. When you go around, you're like, oh, okay, we're going here now. And then we're like, you know, it was great. Had a couple of pints in the Green Dragon. Even in that, like, you know, you get like 10, 15 minutes in the Green Dragon, and it's enormous. And there's like
it is.
Fake little notices on the wall about like Sam, you know, like Farmer Maggot wants this, and like someone's wanted for woodworking and doing this, and like maps of the shire. There's just so much to see, and it's not really enough time in one go to if you really want to like take everything in. But I mean, it's just such an incredible film set. Like it is unbelievable.
It is. Yeah.
Way bigger than you think it would be.
When we went the second time, we went with our the Kiwi family, the Sellers, who you met, Brett and Johnham. Mm-hmm. And Brett made that same, I mean, he is a Kiwi and he had never gone before. And he just kept saying, he's like, this is remarkable. He's like, this is bigger, more extensive than I ever could have imagined. And then like you do the cool little things that you never would have thought of. Like when we were there on the way to the dragon, you like go through this marsh. Like these little the fens is what it's called on a map, and it's like this is such a cool. It's amazing how it, and then like the crazy stuff about it being on Buckland Road, and I was like, surely that was named after and they're like, nope, it was Buckland Road before the movies were filmed, and so just it's almost like if there was if you believed in like a place that was destined to be something like that farm, that little sheep farm in Matabata was destined to be the Shire. So this is kind of crazy, right? Someone we've met who is an upper as well. She just visited and she took a picture of some new construction there.
Yeah.
And they are building.
About to say this. Yeah.
Tell us. You tell us.
Oh yeah. Well, so they're building the inside of Sam's house. I was going to say, Ezra, when you go, make sure you, I don't know if it'll be a separate tour or whatever, but they're building a hobbit hole that you can go into. And I think it's Sam's. Yeah, it's Sam's house. Because I was a bit annoyed that I couldn't walk past Sam's house because they had the whole area cordoned off. But
so, I didn't realize that they were kind of like, because when I went, Sam's house was the yellow door that what you see in the films and everything. It was right there. That's actually, I thought they were adding stuff. They're making Sam's house accessible.
Yeah, because I couldn't even. Which is obviously, I mean, you know,
wow,
sad, but. Obviously, I saw so much stuff. It's not the end of the world, but couldn't like, see Sam's house. But yeah, that makes it so you can go inside.
Incredible.
Well, Jake, when I get there, that's what I'll be sending you pictures this time, and I will. We'll see if we can't get together. You know, some if I ever come into some money, I'm almost gonna take us all back out there again because I'm feeling like left out. I'm like, I need to go. Hearing some people talk about it, people send us like stuff on the Instagram or wherever on Bywater Post too. And I'm just like, it just more and more, it's feeling real. And like my Lottie loves to travel. She has a brother over in Australia. So more and more I'm hearing you do this. And I do want to get like both sort of angles. Like, do I start in the South? Do I start in the North? Mm. Do I go right to Wellington? Mm. Can I start in the middle so I can be different than you guys or
do
what?
A figure eight.
That's figure eight. Like, jeez. But this is cool. And I'm excited to maybe get out there and get some stuff from Jake to kind of, you know, compare your notes and his notes. And it's crazy, man. Yeah. Cause you guys are saying all these places and I'm like, I have no flipping clue where any of these things are, but I see all the pictures and I hear you guys talk about it and it's just like otherworldly, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So this was, how much time did you have left at this point in your trip?
Oh, this is right near the end. So I went from there to, Auckland, and then I got really good friend who lives there, and we did like a day trip to like an overnight trip to Rotorua, which is cool. Like this area that's got all the, did you do Rotorua?
The hot springs and everything. Yeah. The crazy thing I thought was incredible. Their geothermal plant, like they use the, is the water. I took pictures of it cause it was like a oh shoot, sorry, like an engineering like marvel, but they somehow harness the heat that's produced and they use it to power things. Like, it's unbelievable. I was blown away by that area.
Very cool. And also everywhere stinks like egg because it's all the natural geysers. It's like the whole town just reeks of
it smells terrible. Dude, like brimstone. It's like, it's a great place if you gotta like literally lay down some farts and rip some floorboards. It's perfect because you're like, hey, it's just the area, mate, you know what I'm saying? Like, no more arse, you know what I'm saying? So but yeah, no, that did you was Auckland where you left from? Is that where you met up with your mom and
Yeah. So went to Auckland. Then me and my mate did day trip, overnight trip to Rotorua. Then went back to Auckland, had a few days with my mom, and we did the other Weta that was up there, which was like where they take you around stuff with like show you props and stuff they're making for like independent films that they're trying to pitch and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
And then got my Lord of the Rings New Zealand tattoo. Got the like
I didn't know. I what did you get there? This is crazy.
So I got under Anduril on my arm, I got the NZ, it was like New Zealand March 23, but in Elvish.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, you have you sent me a picture message the other day of the Witch King's helm it's on your back of your arm, right? Your tricep area.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I'm like, Jake, you're setting the bar for just the best Lord of the Rings tattoos. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta step up my game. I gotta add a couple more because it's just like what a cool thing. Like so many cool images to like, you know, put on the temple, you know what I'm saying? Like it's beautiful. I think that's so cool. You did that. What a special trip, dude. I mean, is it something that, I know the answer cause we've talked about it, but is it something that you would want to do again in your life to go back to New Zealand?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, cause I was thinking about maybe living there before I went out. I don't think I could live there now. I don't think there's enough like in terms of, not culture in terms of like historical culture, but culture in terms of like stuff to do for me. Yeah. Obviously coming from London, I'm like, I like my space. I like my nature for sure. That's a very important part of my life, but I need like stuff to do as well. And there's not that much to do there. I found that is obviously after being there for 5 weeks. So I might be wrong, but I'd absolutely love to visit like, I don't know if I can, maybe like once every 10 or 20 years or something, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
We're planning a trip then.
Yes. I love it, man. Hey, we can't thank you enough for doing this, dude. This was awesome. I mean, we could have stretched this into three. Of course, we could have stretched this into 3 hours, but I'm sure we'll get more nuggets too when we have King Arthur and Prince Caspian on to join the Warhammer time himself. And then we'll be able to talk about your DJ Lord of the Rings music that you guys produce.
Yeah.
Would you mind? I don't want to put you on the spot. Would you mind telling people about about the half marathon that you're running and why you're running it? And I would love for you to tell people if they wanted to like donate where they could do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, complete sidebar, nothing to do with anything Lord of the Rings related. But yeah, I'm running a half marathon a week on Sunday the 8th of October, which was running something I picked up I started in lockdown with the rest of the world, but then like stopped for a while, but my girlfriend does loads of half marathons and I thought it always looks really fun, so I've been training for the last like 3 months maybe, but had a couple of injuries which have knocked me back, but anyway, running it for OCD UK, which is something that I've dealt with for like about 10 years now, been like on top of it for probably like a year and a half now after a lot of work and therapy and all that stuff and a lot of watching Lord of the Rings. Which
it's really good medicine, isn't it? Lord of the Rings.
I mean, like in all seriousness, like that has got me through like some extremely dark times, like for sure. I mean, I've written, I wrote like a whole thing about it, which is on the website, which is, it's gofundme.com/F/Frodo/halfmara OCD. So
let's put a link. And we'll get it out. So since we're recording, we'll try to get this out next week.
Early
next week, so people can hear, and if they want to if they want to donate, that'd be awesome, and we'll probably even share the link on our Instagram. If that's cool with you, is it all right with you?
Business. That's super kind of you guys.
I mean, we want to support you, man. I mean, you've obviously become way more than a supporter. Your friend and a brother. We and I have been talking about how magical it is. Just it doesn't even make any sense. Like it it's only through some stories that are equally as inspiring and otherworldly that a friendship that never would have happened any other way. I mean, unless, yeah. you know, I mean, then you yeah. got to think about fate and stuff. But anyway, just, you know, you were like one of our very first listeners, if not the very first, and you've become someone that we love to talk to any chance we can. So, and a friend and someone, it's amazing. We talk about this all the time. Like, you know, if I was ever in your area and needed something, I know that you would do whatever to come help me. You know what I'm saying? Come help me out. And likewise,
for sure.
Anywhere you were, if you needed something, we'd find a way to be there and help. So please, I mean, if it's something that you'd like to do, give Jake your support, because he's worthy of all that and more. So
yeah, yeah, he's giving. Yeah. Hey, also, I think I owe Jake a beverage up in
Scotland.
I was up in Scotland, and I was in there with my dad, my wife, and we were running around, and I didn't even see. I think because I was too far. I was too far down there, whatever. Hey, and I had probably five or six.
He does it to me too. Don't even, you know. I mean, he's always. I was like, Ez, remember that text I sent you the other day? He goes, oh.
Oh, what do you mean? And actually, I didn't have a SIM card. I didn't have a SIM card at the time.
Shoot.
Like, I had a SIM card in Germany, and then I didn't have one there. And so I just kind of like threw my phone out. I was like, whatever. it was just funny because I was thinking, like, man, like all the messages that I got when I was over there.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
next, and I'm a frequent traveler to that country now. Yeah, so are. I will be over there, my friend.
Please come down to London. Every time you pop up stuff where you're in the UK, I'm just like, yo, Ez is in Scotland. Whatever, send your message, but we'll see.
We're gonna have a moot down in London, and Jake's gonna show me around, because like Lottie said, she was like, let's go to London next time. I was like, okay, down, we're doing that. So
please,
yeah. so next time I go to the UK, it's like London. So that's where we're going. The other thing I was gonna say too, before we let you go, this guy's inspired. I was literally mouthful of eating Chinese food, and he says Jake's doing a half marathon. I was like, huh? Okay, and I just I'm like halfway through my food. I'm like, thanks. I just started put it down. I'm done.
Ez is inspired. Yeah, maybe you'll run a half marathon too. Are you going to commit to that?
Maybe I'll walk a half marathon. Yeah,
that's a way to do it.
I haven't run it yet, so I might be joining you with the both of
those. Those knees are afterwards. Those knees are going to hold up. I know it.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, hey, it was an honor as always to talk to you. Thank you for sharing just a little bit of your trip. I'm sure it'll inspire. You know, it's funny. Josh Dalkey, another upper who was like our first Hobbit Hotline caller. He just got back himself, and he did a lot of the same. It's a lot of the same things and saw a lot of the same sites, and he messaged us as well. It's really cool too to get messages from people when they're there and they're like, hey guys, check this out. You know, it's just so we get to kind of relive that experience again and again. But
I think we should just, you know, whether it's 5 years or 8 years, we should just plan a trip. That'd everyone. Wild. Like just wild. Start putting it out on the podcast. Like, yeah. Like instead of LEP, you know, whatever, it's like LEP actually in New Zealand, but it's in like, 2035. Yeah, you know, or something.
Yeah, let's put a firm year on it, like a decade out.
If we like get, you know, over 15 or 20 people, we could probably hire out like the whole of Hobbiton.
We absolutely could.
We probably could.
A podcast takeover. That would be incredible. Maybe we could even get Billy Boyd down there. Okay, now we're good. Maybe. Jake, you're an amazing human being. We love you, man.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and we're going to see you later this fall, right? We're going to get that king and that prince under control, and we're going to get that king's schedule is really the king, right? It's King Arthur. We're going to get his schedule under control. I want to meet his ass. That's why. I want to meet him, and I would love to meet Caspian. So we're going to have a good time in the Silmarillion. Yeah, man. It's going to be a blast. So can't thank you enough, brother. Cheers to you. We love you, man.
Yep. Lovely to see you guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.